Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. When you heal, you heal completely.
Good morning, on top of the morning. Yes, another lovely morning and a lovely day that the Lord has made. And welcome to all our listeners. You're tuned in to Morning Dew here on Radio Africana. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. Let's just commit our session to the Lord. Lovely song there. You know, what can we render? What is it that we can bring forth? How can we thank and appreciate the Lord for the many things He has done? The Bible says that even if all the, you know, hairs on our head were tongues, it's not adequate for the things He has done for us. So in that thankful attitude, Father, we just thank You for the privilege of today. Thank You for Your saving grace. Thank You, Lord, for the things that only You could have done. You continue to you do, and your sustaining grace, your sending power in our lives, in our families, in every sphere of our lives. We give you all the glory. We acknowledge that there is no one like you. Once again, we just come before you this morning, this lovely day that you have made. We rejoice in it and we're glad. And we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness, your tender mercies. Thank you for your compassion that faileth not. Thank you for the many things that you have done for each and every one of our listeners, particularly bringing us this far in the year 2025. This and so much more we thank and appreciate you for. We ask this and thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. We ask that your presence will be with us, your spirit will be in abundance to guide us, to lead us, to navigate us as we go into the scriptures. And at the end of it, let your name alone be glorified for having been in your presence. This is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay, we continue on our series. We've been looking at walking with the Lord. We took a little detour when we're looking deeply into what it means to, you know, seek, to ask, and to knock, you know, as means of our walking with the Lord. There are times when in our journey with Him, we do need to seek, to ask, you know, and to knock. And we looked at that in Matthew chapter 7, which was helping us, you know, and we're going back into Mark 6 as well. Sorry, Matthew chapter 6, importance of seeking first the kingdom. Everything that we need is embedded in that kingdom. So we just seek the kingdom, seek the king, seek his domain, seek his laws, his rules, his expectations for us, you know, so that as we go on this journey, we can be sure. The Bible says whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we start off with knowledge of him, and by faith we step out in seeking him, you know. And our key scripture we've been looking in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at verses 11 to 14, describing how Christ gave up specific gifts to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, to equip the believers for ministry and to build up the body of Christ. The ultimate goal is for believers to achieve unity in the faith. So I want to maybe focus a bit on unity in the faith today. Also come to the knowledge and reaching spiritual maturity. These are some of the goals that are highlighted for us in Ephesians chapter 4, starting from 11 to 14. Okay, and so we are not supposed to be, no longer, the Bible says, you know, easily swayed by false teaching and deception. So these gifts, which are men, okay, the five gifts were given, you know, for individual roles. Each of them has their individual graces, and the purpose, the goal, was for these roles to prepare believers, all right, for ministry and to build up the church. So their main goal is to use their graces, their anointing, to prepare believers for the different seasons, to prepare them for the journey, to prepare them for the work of God, to prepare them, you know, and build them spiritually, you know, and they are building collectively into what is known as the body of Christ. It's also expected that they come to spiritual maturity. The ultimate aim is for believers to grow in unity, in faith, and the knowledge of Jesus, achieving maturity and full stature of Christ. Finally, there's protection from deception. So, right, for reaching maturity, by reaching maturity, believers will no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the various winds of doctrine, the various waves that blow here and there, by every teaching from people who are using cunning devices and the deceitful scheming, you know. So it's just that we grow, we mature, and we become more sensitive to all of these things. Now, the particular scripture that emphasizes three goals is Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13, states, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, that's the New King James Version. The apostle envisions that a unified and a mature body of believers, examining the ultimate or the immediate context of this teaching, will help us to know how we can achieve, okay, this unity by faith. So now Christ distributed spiritual gifts to strengthen and equip the church. And Paul says that these gifts are people which we mentioned, right? And we have the gifts as mentioned earlier, okay? So we're looking into exactly how do this go about. So the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, shepherds, teachers are essential to help us right on the mature manhood, okay? Essentially help us on that journey, on growing, on maturing, you know, in that maturing. So like something that's growing, you tender it from a young age, you tender it in the right environment, they get their nutrients, they get guidance, they get protection from anything that may not help their growth and development, and we all come to that unity of the faith. Now, achieving unity does not happen overnight. You know, it's a very laudable goal. It requires a process of growth as gifted, you know, individuals apply consistent efforts. So you will find that the role of your teacher, let's look at those who handle the teaching of the word, it's not a one message, it's not a one time, it's a consistent, you know, churning out the messages that help in any particular area. As we've mentioned several times, we live our lives in different spheres. So let's suppose we're looking at the Christian family and you growing in that. So how do you become a parent? What are the roles of a parent? So what are the expectations in a marriage? All right, so there'll be teachers in that area to prepare people for marriage, to prepare them in anticipating what it is they must carry and bring to the table. Oftentimes, a lot of people step into things like the family role and marriage without being properly prepared. And so I have the proverbial babies are having babies. Now, that's a big issue. Okay, because they themselves needed to have grown, they themselves needed to have attained some level of maturity, and here they are having babies. Boy, what a chemical combination in that family, you know. So the scripture admonishes us to grow. So if that is a season of your life, if that's part of your journey, you need to anticipate that you're going to be a dad someday, you're going to be a mom someday, and so you need to grow in the understanding of what it means to be a dad, what it means to be a role or a mom, what that role entails, what is expected of you. Now if you've never been a dad before, hello somebody, or a mom before, and you have no idea, it's not going to go by something you watched on TikTok or something that was trending somewhere. No, there's much more in depth into the expectations of that role in what you need to know. And so these teachers in that particular example come alongside to help you, to teach you, to guide you, to instruct you, to prepare you, okay, for that role, to prepare you for the challenges you would face, to prepare you so that you can be a mature dad, a mature mom, and you learn as you grow along. But it, trust me, it really helps exceedingly greatly if you understand that role ahead of time, if you've had some character development, if you have had your responsibility, ability to hold, you know, responsible, to be responsible. I know how many people get into that role and the first time the baby comes with all the rest, they bolt, they're out of the door. They are not prepared for responsibility. No, it's not something you can do, but we see it happening every day. So that's people not prepared, stepping into a role they cannot handle. And it's not magic, you know. And then you have the expectation of your partner, the expectation of your family. There's a whole lot, you know. I was just talking with a friend of mine earlier today, even though it was quite early, talking about, you know, the roles of a parent, the kind of things you have to be prepared for, you know. So imagine if you have not been taught on, you know, how to raise the children, on how to run the home, or how to, you know, take them through certain phases of their own development. You know, the guys have to learn how to, you know, change nappies, do a little, but it's a whole lot, you know, and it may not be something you've been used to, but you need to prepare yourself. You need to come. The girls maybe not very easy with that role, but there may be a point where as you share the roles in that new relationship, you need to step up. You need to be able to help with that, help with class what's it called, housework, housekeeping, other roles like that. You need to be able to share in the school runs. There's a whole lot of stuff that you may not have been used to. Maybe you're a very laid back kind of fellow, you know, you just listen, you need to get up, you need to get back on time, because you're not only getting yourself ready, you're getting kids ready. There's a whole routine, you need to be at certain places at certain times, all of that kind of stuff. So if you're not somebody who plans, you're not somebody who's on your feet, if you're not an early riser, there's a lot of adjustment when it comes to stuff like that, and that season carries on for a long time. So just the same way we have that in the family, as young Christians, we come as we are, but we're not to remain as we are. And so we're subjected to teachers, people who will, you know, have experience, who have an anointing, they have a grace taking us through from where we are to where we ought to be. So unity goes beyond simply agreeing on theological or doctrinal matters. It represents a shared trust in Christ. So when Paul refers to the knowledge of the Son of God, he speaks of a relationship, an experiential understanding of this personality. It is more than head knowledge or book smarts. Okay, our knowledge of Christ is acquired through personal experience and direct encounters with God. Okay, so important. Our knowledge of Christ is acquired through personal experience of walking with him, okay, listening to him, okay, direct encounters with God, whichever way he chooses to manifest himself to us. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul expresses this desire: I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and to participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Now there's a tall order there: to know the personality, to know the power available of the resurrection, you know. And when you look at the resurrection, there's a lot about the resurrection. There's a lot that was made available because he paid the price. You will have to pay a price. You will get to certain parts of your journey and your maturing because you have gone through a journey, because you have paid the price, because you had rolled up your sleeves, because you have taken responsibilities, participating in his sufferings. There will be times we're going through, becoming like him even unto his death, you know. So this is the Apostle Paul talking about being like Christ. So believers have several responsibilities, okay, in walking toward the unity of the faith. We're going to try and see how many of them we can cover in the next few minutes, you know. And we'll take a break now, and we'll come back and see what we, you know, some of these responsibilities are, and how many we can take in the next few minutes. See you on the flip side of the break.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good, y'all. Raise it. In a bush. Sacrifice.
Good morning. If you're joining us, you're welcome. And we're back from our break. This is Morning Dew. Yes, we're looking at walking with the Lord. And our emphasis today is on our key scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 14. And we're looking at the goals. One of it is that we might come to the unity of the faith. And we just mentioned before the break that unity is beyond simply agreeing on theological and doctrinal matters. It represents a shared trust in Christ, you know. And so when the Apostle Paul was referring to his knowledge of the Son of God, each one of us has to come into that personal relationship with the Son of God. You know, the Bible talks about you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth actually is a personality. The beginning was the Word was with God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So when we came to meet an encounter with the Word, it's also an encounter with the personality of the truth of the Word of God. You know, he's a multifaceted being, and so we come to meet him in one way, shape or form. Okay, so what do we do as we're trying to walk into unity? We need to walk worthy of the calling. And Paul encourages believers to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which we have been called. All right, so we see this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling, right, with which you were called. So there's a calling to which we're called, and he as a fellow prisoner is urging you, admonishing you to work worthy of that call with all lowliness, the King James says, and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love. Very important. Okay, endeavoring, okay, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right, verse 4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. All right, so Ephesians chapter 4, that's from King James. All right, and some other versions put it different. It says, walk worthy of your calling. This is the ESV version. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called, which with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's Ephesians chapter 4. Just looked at verses 1 to 3 in the ESV. So unity starts with a commitment to emulate Christ. And so one embodies humility. Okay, so he embodies humility, gentleness, patience and love. So we refer to this in the past about the attributes of God, which are exemplified and demonstrated, embodied, okay, in the personality of Jesus Christ, in all humility, being gentle, gentleness, patience and love. These virtues or attributes empower believers to promote peace and to overcome divisions. Now, when you look at what it's asking you to do, you know, one of the scriptures that just keeps coming to my mind, I don't remember the exact scripture, but I remember the content. It says, from whence comes this strife? Whence comes this argument? You know, so there's a kind of attributes, the kind of virtues, this kind of behavior that is not expected among believers. And several times the scripture challenges, so where comes all this fighting? Where comes all this quarreling? So if we're walking towards the unity of the faith, if we're walking with these virtues and attributes on display in our lives, we cannot be, you know, as it were, you say, you cannot get sweet and bitter water from the same tree. So we're either demonstrating, displaying the virtues and attributes that are keen to the life of Christ, okay, as we come into the unity. And so when we look at loving one another, when we look at bearing with one another, gentleness, patience, you know, and being humble to one another, there's just no way that certain things that bring about division, bring about separation, bring about quarreling, there's no room for it, you know, if this really is our focus. So walk worthy of the calling. All right, now the next thing that we need to look at is embracing spiritual gifts. Very important. So he gave gifts to men, But we need to embrace them. So it's like the resources can be given to you. Will you embrace those spiritual gifts? The church is strengthened through various spiritual gifts. All right. So the apostles, the prophets. So if you're not embracing their ministry, if you're not embracing the contribution they make into your growing, into your maturing, into coming to the union of faith, you know, these are essential for equipping the body of Christ. And so we'll miss out on a lot by not embracing the spiritual gifts or embracing their contribution. So spiritual gifts are intended for the benefit of others rather than for personal recognition, you know. And so it's important that we, you know, adopt this attitude, you know, if we're going to grow and mature and come to that unity of the faith. Now let's look at Romans chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 6 to 8. It says, having then gifts differing, okay, according to the grace that is given to us. So we talked about these gifts, we talked about the grace, but they will differ based on the grace that is given to each one of these spiritual gifts, okay, as they may have made manifest into each one. All right, and verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So if it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it to our, you know, ministry. Okay, he who teaches in the teaching, and finally verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives, all right, with liberty, and he who lends with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So whatever grace is given to each individual, okay, whatever spiritual gifts is given to each individual, let us demonstrate it in the way we relate to one another, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in giving, okay. Whatever grace has been given to you, let it be made manifest. And remember, these gifts are to other men. Now I need to say that because oftentimes we find people who walk maybe in the prophetic, and the Lord will not share his glory with anybody. Let me put it this way: the Lord will not share his glory with anybody. So anytime you're doing anything, who are you pointing the people to? It's essential that they are pointed in the direction of the Lord Jesus. It's not to draw attention to yourself, okay? And so people should leave your presence after they have been able to be, you know, encounter you, or they've come in contact with the grace upon your life or the anointing upon your life. But it urges them, it spontaneously causes them to give thanks, it spontaneously causes them to want to seek the Lord, it spontaneously causes them to want to journey deeper in their relationship with the Lord. Give him all the glory. You point all of them in his direction. This is so important, and that we're not sharing in the glory, you know. The Lord will not share his glory with anyone else. All right, so that's so important. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think we looked at that, it must have jumped a bit, where we talk about the different gifts. Okay, right. Okay, this is something else about the gifts again. There are diversities of gifts, okay, but the same Spirit. It's Ephesians chapter, sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're looking at 4 to 6. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are many manifestations of the, you know, gifts of the Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says, but there are diversities of activities, right? But it is the same God who works all in all. Right, so that's important, you know. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So every manifestation, every expression of the attributes, the virtues, okay, the graces upon your life is given for all to profit from. And verse 8, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, okay. And then it goes on, verse 11, to another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing, you know, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, right, to another prophecy, right, and to another discerning of the spirit, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same spirit works all these, okay, things are distributed through the spirit, okay, to each one individually as he wills. So it's the Holy Spirit that is in charge of giving these gifts. He's also in charge of the administration and distribution of these gifts. All right, and so as we yield ourselves to these spiritual gifts, we need to understand they are diverse in their operation, they're diverse in the spiritual personalities that, you know, are giving the graces to minister to us. And the Lord will help us as we go through, you know, these very interesting part of our coming into the unity. So there are lifestyle behaviors, there are attributes, there are virtues that we must take on board, right? So let's look at some more things that we can do to walk towards the unity. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back, and then we'll look at some more, see how much we can squeeze in, and then see how much that takes us to the rest of our program. So see you on the other side of the break now.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Me.
Yes, lovely song, Crucified Above All. You know, seek first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added. Above all thrones, all principalities, all powers, he went ahead, he paid the price. So he's been through whatever it is we're going to go through in our journey, and so we just want to make sure that we keep our focus consistently on him. Remember, he is the truth, you know. He was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So let's keep him at the focus, let's keep him in the forefront. And so that's why we look at his virtues, we look at his, you know, attributes, and we need to understand them and make sure that our lives are demonstrating and putting those attributes on display. And our lives become a living proof, really, if we imbibe the Word of God, if we become, you know, living witnesses to others. So our lives just speak of what it is that we believe in, what it is we stand for. Right, so we're looking at what we need to do to ensure that we come to the unity of the faith. And in that process, another important thing is to speak the truth in love. We have this in Ephesians chapter 4, and look at things verse 15. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love, okay, may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. You know, so we should, verse 14 says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, okay, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful, you know, plottings and schemes. Some other Bible talks about. So Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 is telling us here that we cannot remain children. We cannot be naive of the things that are not godly, the things that are not good attributes. Rather, we should focus, you know, by speaking the truth in love. Okay, and as we do that, we grow into up in every way into him who is the head. So we're growing into the unity of the body, we grow up into the nature and the admonishment, the examples, okay, the attributes of him who is the head. So he is our example, you know, and so that's what we're admonished to do. Speak the truth in love, okay, and you are growing up in every way into him who is the head, as long as you continue to do that. So he is the truth, and we mentioned that we speak the truth. That means we must be studious of the Word of God, know what his expectations are, and when we open our mouth to utter, let it be words of encouragement, let it be the truth that we speak in love. Speaking the truth in love requires courage, you know, to address sin, and this is a very big thing. Sometimes we see things and we're not prepared to stand, either for fear or control. We cannot let those things sway us. We must be able to stand up with courage to speak the truth in love, okay, to correct errors, you know, and to resolve misunderstandings, you know. So this is our role. You know, you can't be there, a righteous man, and you're observing what is not right, and you keep quiet. You know, the Bible says, for you that know what to do and does not do it, it is sin. So you know that you're supposed to speak up. You know that you're supposed to stand for the truth, but decided to hold your peace. So to you that know what to do and does not do it, the Bible says that is sin, and that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But we're supposed to correct errors, you know, to resolve misunderstandings, okay? Restoration is the goal in this case, you know. So make sure that we are making every effort to restore, you know, our brothers as we see them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, let's look at that. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, this is the mature person, you who are righteous, right? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. All right, so we're not to judge anybody, we're not called to be jury in any situation, but you know, we want to make sure that the way we intervene, we see somebody overtaken in a trespass, in a sin, right? You who are more spiritual, okay, you you know, a one with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself least. So you are the one to woo them, you are the one to bring them in, you are the one to restore, bring spiritual restoration to that situation through, you know, speaking the truth, through the way you embrace them, okay? And it says, bear one another's burdens, verse 2, okay? Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, any of us can fail. Any of us can be, you know, subject to a place or a season where we're being tested, where we've compromised, where we've fallen short. But it doesn't mean the whole bunch of mature believers around you need to descend upon you. There's a way to restore people. There's a way to bring about correction. There's a way you can tell them what they're doing is not proper, you know. And so let us not be those that come like the judge and the jury. We've not been given that responsibility and that role. So that's very, very important, you know. Now let's just look at something else we need to do as we come to the unity. Everything we're doing with these giftings, we come to equip and edify one another. This is so important. So we said the gifts were given for the equipping of the saints, to edify, to build. Everything you're doing, make sure it's edifying your brother. Even as you're correcting it, make sure correction is in love. Make sure the words you are using edify. Make sure they encourage. You know, you're using one hand to be firm and steady. You need to encourage them with the other hand. You know, it's a proverb. You use one hand to put the children on the right track, but you must also reassure them that it's being in love. You know, God chastises those that he loves. So there's a firmness about discipline, firmness about conduct, but there must also be the reassurance that all of this is done in love. So equip and edify one another. So believers should support and encourage one another. Again, we see this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says, consider how to stir up one another in love, okay, and good works. Remember, we said we are called to do good works. So even these good works of restoring, of correcting, of stirring up one another, you must learn how to do it properly. You learn how to speak to people. You learn how to relate. You learn how to listen. You learn how to be understanding. I always say it's better you seek to understand what's going on, to understand why people behave in a particular way. Seek to understand rather than insist that you must be understood. Oftentimes when we have to accommodate people with challenging behavior, we need to seek to understand what is going on in their heads, what's going on around them, what is heightening such behavior, you know, in an attempt to restore, to help, and to put them on track. And the Lord will give us that wisdom in Jesus' name. Okay, so Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, consider how you stir up one another to love. Always think, whatever you're doing, stir up one another to love. Okay, and good works, not neglecting to meet together. So we must not neglect to gather together in, you know, assemblies where we encourage one another, we study the scriptures, we check ourselves that we're still in line with the word of God. The eye doesn't see itself, and so oftentimes it's people around us that gives us feedback on the way we came across, on the way we handle a situation. So if you're constantly equipping and edifying one another, you find that in such fellowships, you know, you're not neglecting one another. You know, you come together. The Bible says, do not neglect the fellowship of one together as the habit of some, all right, but encourage one another. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So Christian fellowship and accountability is a very, very important role. It's essential for unity and maturity in the faith. I'll take that again. Christian fellowship and accountability. Now, fellowship, I think we all understand that. That's where we come together, we share together, we study together, we rejoice together, we have testimonies, you know, we share testimonies. We should also be accountable in terms of sharing good practice. Okay, we should all be accountable. One of the things I find, oftentimes people have grown through lives and they've not come under any kind of leadership, they've not come under any kind of mentorship, they don't understand the dynamics of those relationships, and as a result, when it comes to their edifying, they're being built up, they lack certain traits, they're not developed because they've never been under any authority, they've not been accountable to anybody. And so it really helps to walk, you know, under some teacher, under some authority, in a mentorship relationship or a coach relationship, somebody who's teaching you. I have a responsibility to some degree of some oversight over your affairs, whatever it is you're doing, and you remain accountable. You know, you clock in with them, you check in with them, there's constantly checking on your progress, checking that you understand what's expected of you. Think about that in a workly role. You're in a new role and you're being shadowed, you're shadowing somebody, you're being mentored by another more experienced member of staff. So you constantly clock in, you constantly show them your work, they're checking you as you go on. So that accountability, they're not going to run after you. You are the one who is, you know, the apprentice. You are the one who is underneath them, but you learn to be accountable to them, you learn to report to them, you learn to let them track whatever it is you're doing, your development, your progress. Even in a team, when you come into a new team, in a football team, you know, you're new, you're the rookie, you have to go through the routines, but you're accountable to your coach. You're making sure you're there to be on time for your, you know, training sessions, whatever it is. So it is in our spiritual walk. You know, but oftentimes a lot of people, hey, can I say they're lone rangers? They just bolt out on it, you know, and they become like a rolling moss, you know, become a disaster, a bull in a china shop, because they've not learned to commit, they've not learned to be an authority, and they've definitely not learned how to be accountable. The Bible says these are essential for unity, you know, and the Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. So these are just a few of what we've been able to cover today. You know, as we come to the unity of the faith, a few things that we've mentioned today. We talked about walk worthy of the calling. Apostle Paul encouraged us to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So that's what you're called to do, work in that expectation, walk in the manner and expected of the people in that role. All right. And then we talked about embracing spiritual gifts, right? We want to talk about the grace of God upon these different men as a gift to the body. So embrace the gifts of the pastor, embrace the gifts of the apostle, embrace the gifts of the prophets. You know, whatever grace is given to them is there for a purpose. Each of them is contributing to your growth, to your maturity, and bringing you into that maturity in the unity of the faith. You know, so embrace these spiritual gifts, you know, as they find expression in these various gifts to the body of Christ. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul talks about speaking the truth in love, right? We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, all right, and into Christ. So we're growing into the nature, the attribute, the virtue, okay, the very, you know, expression of the very nature of God as we see demonstrated in the life of Christ. So we're to speak the truth in love. This will help us to grow into that nature and that character. We need to remember how it is we require, we know that we're required to speak the truth in love. In it requires courage, you know, to address sin. You know, Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for reproof, for correction in righteousness. So the scriptures are there for us to speak in truth, for us to be able to reproof, to address sin, to correct errors, to resolve misunderstanding. That should be our role. And the Lord will bless those who obedient to these scriptures, who are obedient to the word of God. It's not you that they should find that you are the one causing division. You are the one scattering the whole thing. You are the one gossiping. That's another one we'll talk about later. You know, you cannot be a backbiter. You cannot be a talebearer. These are not spiritual attributes, not expected of a mature Christian. And so as we study these important virtues and our responsibility, we find ourselves growing into the stature, the expected unity within the body of Christ, and the Lord will help each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Right, so finally we talked about equipping and edifying. So as we are being built up, we're being equipped, but also I love the word edify one another. You know, whatever it is you're saying, make sure it's supporting. Okay, make sure it's encouraging. You know, there's how you communicate your words so that it supports the other person. They don't feel like you're talking at them. They don't feel like you're shouting at them. They don't feel like you're commanding them. You understand? There's a way you edify, you build up. All right, and so we need to not only equip people, but make sure that every communication is building, it's encouraging, it's admonishing. Even the tone matters. You know, some people, because you're gentle, there's a way they gravitate towards you. And if you have a tone that's very aggressive, they just distance themselves from you, because it connotes, you know, maybe that you're not accommodating, maybe you're not gentle, maybe you're not understanding. So we have to make the necessary adjustments to become all things to those that we minister to, and the Lord will help us, you know, to achieve that goal. All right, so we're talking about equipping and edifying one another. Believers should support and encourage one another. Okay, and we talked about the fact that we do fellowship with one another. So these are the things that are supposed to be the content in our fellowship, and the quality of those fellowship, the quality of what people gain in there. People need to come around you, into your Bible study, into your church, into your ministry, whatever it is, and feel blessed, feel encouraged, feel admonished, feel that, you know, they've had the truth spoken to them in love, feel that they've been able to embrace some spiritual truth and it's beneficial to them. Well, lovely people, that is in summary what we've been able to cover today. You know, we looked at those four areas as we're coming to the unity of the faith. As we said at the beginning, unity goes beyond simply agreeing on theological or doctrinal matters. Okay, it represents a shared trust in Christ. So all of us are sharing that trust in Christ. All right, and that we might come to the knowledge of the truth, come to the knowledge of the personality that we're relating with. Lovely people, I pray that the Lord by His Spirit will enable you, will strengthen you, will empower you. You'll find men are willing to encourage you, to support you, to bring healing and restoration where it's needed, to bring a word of encouragement when you need that, to bring an ear to listen when you need somebody to listen, a shoulder to lean upon. I pray that whatever it is you desire in your time of need, the Lord by His Spirit will administer to you, administer to your ministry, your work, every sphere of your life, to your family, to your children, to your spouse, you know, and that you may all grow into the unity in Christ. Lovely people, till we meet again same time next week on the same channel, it's been a pleasure being with you. What can I say? Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
Heart could tell a story. If my life would sing a song. If I have a testimony. If I have anything at all. No one else. cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me out this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy, my joy. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven, and you were everything to me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy.
Yeah. every same God.